The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It does.
Certainly does.
This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, and you?
No one's hurt me yet.
Day's not over. It's just getting started.
Thanks for the encouragement. And we're here with Liam, our producer. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, I saw your thing on Facebook.
Which one?
Well, I could tell it was you. It was a it was a guy holding a bass guitar.
Yeah, sounds like me.
It does sound like you.
Do you play?
I play like 20 some instruments.
Cool.
Very talented. It's talking fun. About talented.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We have two talented guests today. We have Katie and Leslie, and they are with Moms for Liberty. They are also with We the Parents, which is a new podcast. And we're going to get into that in just a second, ladies. But we want to let you know we're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, which where the music sounds better, and it's
the only one
that works.
Works today.
Yes.
No AM.
So AM isn't working. So those of you who are on FM, tell your friends who are listening on AM to go to FM 96.5, your talk radio, or go to your computer and listen live on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question for the ladies, our phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Leslie, Katie, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So tell us about, first of all, tell us about a little bit about yourselves, and then we want to hear about Moms for Liberty.
Well, I'm a teacher and a mom, and We're just out here getting people involved and getting parents involved in their child's education and putting up new school board members and supporting school board members. And we've got a lot going on in this community right now. Everything this last week was very triumphant, and we had some great things happen. So
I get to do that one.
I'm introducing it. So we're working hard and working with community members and also going after some of those state laws that are pretty nefarious and coming after our kids and our parents' rights.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
So, very near and dear to my heart, I have spent the last 10 plus, somewhere around there, in the Anderson community, working with the kids through, you know, my year out at West Valley and then at AMS and Anderson Heights and now in Pacheco, which is also a feeder school for Anderson High School, and our principal, who has been there less than a year.
At the high school. Okay.
Worked in the district for 19, 20 plus years. I don't remember the exact number. Amazing man. Wonderful man. Who I have also known for my years at Corning. Amazing man. Great culture. Wants to build our community. And through, let's not get into that, but through some chaos, decided that let's just fire this great, wonderful man. Well, the community rose up, the kids rose up, the parents rose up, and showed up to two board meetings, multiple people speaking on his behalf, not one person speaking against him, and he is reinstated as our principal, effective immediately, because he is a wonderful man who is going to bring Anderson back to everything they told us they always were when I was at Corning rooting against them. So
who led the charge on terminating him? Who's the one or who
was the reason
that decided to do that?
Well, from my perspective, being there and involved in it, the only person that I can see that has blame or guilt would be Victor Hopper, superintendent. He liked, I don't know what he was trying to get out of it, but he pitted people against each other. Everything got exposed at a board meeting when he had told people that a board member was looking into things and saying things against him. In fact, when he called in the principal, he gave that as his reason for letting you go. You know, this board member was looking into the way you handled this situation and blah, 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 blah.
What situation was it?
Yeah, Leslie, what's the backstory?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so there were four boys that were goofing around in a bathroom. And being boys, was it a great decision? No. But they're goofing around, they're filming it, and a clip of the video where it looks like a kid is getting a swirly got circulated. Well, Hopper went a step further, informed the board members that it was a special ed student. He is not a special ed student. All of the kids that were involved are mainstream students. All of the kids that were involved were goofing around and laughing. I have the full video. Multiple parents have the full video. It was, they're all laughing, they're all goofing off.
Even the one who supposedly
was
supposedly the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then when the principal was on his vacation, that was, you know, prearranged and approved and everything else, Victor decided to send out an email to everybody saying, hey, since he decided to take a personal day and he's not on campus, I'm going to have Mr. Parker, who was the old principal, now over at the district office, come over and deal with this situation. Totally undermined him to his entire staff in this email. And then went further into the email to say, and the African-American student who did this, like in capitals and, you know, the African-American student that did this and the Hispanic student that did that, I worked in that district. You're not supposed to use kids' emails in any district or kids' names and emails in any district.
Or any identifying
Anything.
Features.
Yeah,
not at
or
all.
Identifying.
Yeah.
We talk about wanting to not have race issues in schools, yet here we are, the highest person on the thing, making something about race. And so parents were outraged. The email got leaked out, and parents at the board meeting were like, you're a racist. What are you doing? You need removed. Not only are you messing up our kids with removing a guy they trust, but now you're a racist. Then parents started coming forward with all kinds of stories. He threatened kids. All kinds of stuff. So there's a lot in the works, and anybody.
So the superintendent threatened kids?
Yeah.
Is he still there?
He's still there. There's a parent that came forward and said that he had in a situation, got in a kid's face and told the kid that he was going to kick their ass. So, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You can say ass on
TV. Oh, I can say
that.
Okay. He got in their face and told them he was going to kick their ass. So, you want to talk about issues that weren't handled. There were other issues that just in the threads on social media and stuff were brought up where parents had to, before this principal, so it definitely didn't fall on him, went straight to Mr. Hopper. He didn't take care of it. Parents had to go get civil suits outside of school to make harassment stop. Like, there's a lot of failed stuff in this man's leadership, and every one of these parents is coming forward. So we won the battle, but not yet the war. There is another board meeting coming up, and he's up for review at next month's board meeting. So anybody who has information on mishandlings anywhere in Anderson Union High School District, feel free to reach out to one of the board members. They're all open to hearing things, listening.
Watching this, I was really impressed with what's the principal's name?
Tom Stafford.
Mr. Stafford's wife.
Stafford.
She was online everywhere advocating for her husband, and it was wonderful to watch. And she spent probably every waking minute just going out there and advocating for him, and she did a really good job speaking for him, and she rallied the community behind him. And if there's any textbook way to go about this, she comported herself very well in that situation and did a very good job, and the community answered the call. It was wonderful to watch.
And students led protests. They led walkouts. They had students not showing up not only for that next day at school, but the rest of the week were replying to the, absence text. Like, if Mr. Stafford doesn't work for you, you don't deserve our money. Sorry. And, they saw how many kids in this community are going to walk. And you know what? I was also really impressed. Jackie and Stacy hosted a time, you know, your board members work for the community. They work for the constituents.
Yes, they're two board members.
They're two board members at Anderson.
Uh-huh.
And they said, this board meeting's important. There's an outpouring for the community. And Jackie and Stacy both set up at tables outside of the library before the meeting and were there an hour before to make themselves available. And they said, hey, come talk to us. Let us know. And that's what all the board members should be doing. They should be hearing from the community, not just the superintendent.
That's right.
And then not only that, then we have powerhouse parents, Megan Frost, one of the most amazing people. She was a board member. She knows the ins and outs of this. And her and so many other parents, they were leading a petition. They had enough signatures to serve both Joe Gibson and Cindy Trotter Hogue, who didn't even bother.
And who are those people?
Those are board members that voted against keeping him on.
Okay.
At the first meeting.
Okay.
Cindy decided not to even show up to the second meeting.
Mm.
And, you know, we don't have proof of who the one vote was not to keep him, but I'm assuming if one changed, one wasn't there before, then he was there, and he was speaking out in public for Mr. Stafford. I'm assuming he voted for him, and that Joe, again, was the one vote against him. So there are recalled petitions that have enough signatures. So I would suggest to those board members that they start listening to their constituents if they don't want to be served.
So there is a recall that actually is happening here?
No, they have not been served, unless they got served after the meeting.
They said they were going to rip it up if Mr. Stafford got to keep his job. So whether they did or they didn't, they've got a little thing there, ticket.
Yeah, I pressed the hold button on that one.
Yeah.
Let him sweat a little bit.
It's there.
Let the pause happen.
Right.
And just sit on it. There's no expiration date on that.
No, there's not. Okay. And they had enough signatures to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And even after we had enough to serve them, people in the room were like, hey, I'll sign that. So, you know, even if it gets ripped up, we can very easily restart.
Yeah.
Now, when you two ladies started your chapter of Moms for Liberty, what was a motivating factor for you? I mean, obviously the kids, but I mean, what was it that you said, this is the right place to be, this is the right tool to use?
Well, that's exactly it. It's the right tool to use. And we've been talking to Chico and Butte County, if anybody needs Moms for Liberty. Oh, man, what they've got going on down there. They need it, and we will be there 100%. But it's the tool to use. It is a national organization that has already created the wheel, exceeded expectations, and done it right. So Katie and I are doing 5-6 different groups. We're joining PACs. We're part of, you know, GOP. We're part of the other committee. We're part of this. We're part of that. We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off trying to...
It's mine. Go ahead.
trying to make things, you know, happen. And every single time we're having to reinvent the wheel. Moms for Liberty does all of that for us. And so it was like, why do we keep exhausting ourselves
right. When
we can not only have something that already has the tools we need, but then if we need help, it's got national backing. So
also, we get to go on a fun girls trip together to Philly. So that was a huge motivating factor.
We didn't know about that till after we signed up, Katie, but it was definitely a bonus.
So where are you going to go on your trip?
We get to go to Philadelphia.
And what are you going to do there?
We're going to have a national conference with other Moms for Liberty.
Okay.
And get a chance to have breakout sessions and learn more about what we've already been doing and get some some help in these areas and, like, some direction on how to run.
And turbocharge what you're doing?
Absolutely. Okay. That's the plan. And meet people and collaborate.
Okay.
And,
awesome.
Yeah.
So what else is going on here in Shasta County? I mean, this situation with Anderson, that's great that you guys were there in that, you know, as concerned people and so forth. But what else can Moms for Liberty do here in Shasta County? What else is going on? What's on your radar?
Well, the biggest thing
you can talk about.
Thing right now that is on our radar is Gateway School District, and our board members, Lindsay and Elias Haynes, have been served their recall notification. So we're going to be spending our time on that anti-recall. The group of people that are recalling them really are the type of people that we as conservatives are fighting against. It's the people that want to teach critical race theory. They're the people that want to keep everything going in the direction of progressivism, and their radar, their emphasis, what they care about and what they think is good for kids is not. It's not good for kids. What it is instead is it's detrimental, and it's taking them away from learning the fundamentals and the things that are important in school. So when we got this board majority here at Gateway, we had a group of very nasty, very, very self-serving people come up against this board in the most vicious and ferocious way I ever saw in my life, other than now we see what's going on in Chico, which we'll talk about later.
Can you give us an example of some of those things that were going on?
Yeah, so for example, one of the things was that Cheryl ended up resigning because Cheryl Clifford ended up resigning. People were coming after her so hard and her family. They were coming after her family, messaging them.
Her adult children.
Yes, and at their workplace.
Yes.
That was the thing that stopped her and in her tracks and made her to. And that is unfortunate because, to me, that's elder abuse, and they went after her because she's an 80-year-old woman.
Yep.
That is the truth. And once they were able to get that victory or hide, you know, is kind of how I see it.
Exactly.
They went then and they turned their attentions towards Elias and Lindsay. Now, the main reason they don't like Elias and Lindsay is different reasons. Elias and Lindsay are pointing out the corruption. They are rooting out the corruption. Lindsay was the one who said that there was a bench in the budget for $13,000.
A bench to sit
on? A bench in the front of the district office.
Okay.
So, facts. Okay? So, this is why they're coming after Elias and Lindsay. Some people are. The other reason is because they are calling out the issues with the transgender and things like that. So on Wednesday night, and, you know, I hate to talk bad against this person because I genuinely know them and think they're nice. But a transgender person was the person who served them their papers. And that tells you a lot. And I feel that this transgender person is being used and capitalized upon, and another person that they're preying on, honestly. So so I don't want people to attack that person because I don't think that they have the capacity to take that. I don't think it's okay to do. But we're really in this situation where they're able to get KRCR, the paper, have painted Cheryl, Eli and Lindsay as nothing but, you know, just terrible, horrible people. And they have been above board, never saying a word, just trying to do the work. And they're trying to learn their job. So there was mistakes made, but they were honest mistakes. Not the kind that they're making.
And right. They admitted that they make mistakes. They admitted, you know, we came in a little hot.
Well, the Brown Act violations was actually rectified.
Right.
So they rescinded the vote. They took that off, and it was, so they never did anything wrong. It's as if it never happened. They got their hand slapped. They said, Brown Act violation. They said, sorry, you know, they rescinded the vote right away. They answered the Brown Act violation exactly the way that they should.
No,
they
did it. I basically heard that the attorney for the district was asked about the procedure they used. Is that is that true? Do you know anything about that? In other words, they sought the attorney's opinion and advice before this Brown Act violation occurred.
Well, the Brown Act violation was not in response to the firing of the superintendent. The firing of the superintendent was what made some people mad, and it wasn't for the reasons you think. It's not because they liked Jim Harrell. It's because they have an ego and wanted a say in how this whole thing went down. So that's the truth. I know because I work there, and I can tell you that the majority of the people, even the ones that are against his firing, say, it's not really about him. Well, that's interesting. You know, I mean, what really is it about? Is it about you? Because that's kind of what I'm calling him out for. Because what happened when the Brown Act violation, the board was very excited to come and talk about a vote that they made in closed session, and they wanted to tell everyone about it. But they had to, the procedure goes that they have to have public comment first. But in their haste and their newness and wanting to tell the public a vote that they knew the public would like, they went out there and they did the announcement of the vote before public comment was allowed to happen, which was the Brown Act violation. Now,
I have a question about that.
Yes.
Hold your thought, but I have a question because isn't there a chairman? Is there a chairman on that school board?
Well, at that time it was Cheryl.
Okay, if that time it was Cheryl. Well, if in fact she wants to change the agenda and move around stuff, especially public comment, isn't that within the purview? How is that a Brown Act violation if in fact she wants to move it around? There isn't any set policy that can't be moved by the chairman, as far as I know. Is it different on a school board than it would be in city council or
board
of supervisors? Is it different?
Well, because due to the fact that it was an action item on the agenda,
okay,
and no public comment had happened prior to that,
okay,
that would be a Brown Act violation because the board did not have the opportunity to hear from the people before the action was taken. So with that, even though it was a decision that they liked, they still, because of they were mad and they were not having any grace on this board whatsoever, they committed a Brown Act violation. So when people hear a Brown Act violation, they think that it was a vote that the people didn't like. That is actually not true. It was only to stick it to that board and come after them. Mm. So it was an easy one for the board to rectify and then go from there and continue on with figuring out a process for hiring a new superintendent.
Okay, so at the board meeting,
yeah,
you have the five board members. Don't they have legal counsel representation,
yeah,
and staffer, a secretary or administrator from the district office? Don't they attend the meetings?
Yeah, so we did not have legal counsel at that particular meeting for that specific one.
Okay,
and normally they don't for that one, although I've seen it at Shasta County Office of Education. They will usually have their counsel there,
mm-hmm,
but not at regular school board meetings,
okay,
unless it's more of a stickier issue, which later on in the process, after they went through a process of getting new legal counsel, and once that did come through, they did have her on their panel to help them through some things.
Okay, well, so then, okay, if they didn't have legal counsel there, don't they have a staffer that has been through meetings before that would understand the protocol and the process that could help direct them?
And they were directing them, and I think that out of newness of the board and the way that they were asking the question, that it was answered. So there was more of like a miscommunication there, because I do believe that the Gateway staff did advise them properly,
okay,
but they were not quite understanding what the board was asking. Like, if the board had said, we want to give a vote before we allow anyone to have public comment,
right,
they would have been told not to do that. But
right,
they weren't clear on their question.
Right,
and I think
on articulating what they were trying to do.
And then I think that maybe some blame went back and forth in that situation, but it's all, that's resolved now on that side of things, okay. And staff and the board are working well together,
okay.
From what I've seen, so.
Okay. Well, I think at this point we'll take our break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done. Hey.
Through the madness and the lies, as they're holding back the truth, no matter what they try, I will always fight for you. Our Savior innocence, they are trying to remove. I am here at your defense, and I will always fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will stand here in the way.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss the Sue McClain News Hour from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, we have Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, the great outdoors, pop culture, and find out what's happening in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune in to Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR's weekend lineup includes The Flatline with Rick Hughes, Poke the Hornet's Nest, Jefferson State of Mind with Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter, followed by Sovereign Minds, We the People and Tokens Radio Show on 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
There's a hole in this country where its heart used to be. No glory is divided on firing street. They say building back better make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine.
All right. Sally Lou. Sally Lou's music.
That doesn't sound like Sally.
Is that Sally Lou's music?
I've heard Sally sing.
I want to hear Sally.
Are you there?
You don't want to hear Sally or Terry sing.
Yeah.
Anything you have
to say. No, I mean, she always picks it out. I'm just pulling it from the email.
Sally Lou, that's a fun song, honey. That's a good one.
Well done,
Sally's fun. I like her.
That's a good thing, I guess.
She's fun.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she likes all the stuff I like to do.
She's
a
sweetheart. She's got the hand of God on her because she's been married to you for 100 years. Yeah.
She's smiling. Moving on from there.
She's smiling right now, shaking her head. Yeah.
She is. You go win. You go win. You tell them.
We love you, Sally.
Yeah, anyway, we do have a caller on the line. Richard, what say you?
Hey, you put my name out. It's Stone.
You're stoned?
Everybody knows who I am.
You're stoned?
Everybody knows who I am now.
No, everybody knew who you
everybody
were before.
Everybody knew who you were anyway, yeah.
I know. Hey, I know. Hey, so there's something happening. I'm not sure if Moms for Liberty is going to address this at the nationwide level, because this is nationwide. We have a lot of rhinos on school boards. That's obvious. Duh. But now here in Chatham County, we have an admitted Marxist Marxist socialist on the Shasta Elementary School Board. His name is Joshua Brown, son of the other Brown on the SOE board. This kid is an admitted Marxist. I went to their school board meeting last week, presented them with the documents of this person's admission and their manifesto, their four-page manifesto, and I told that board, you better hold a special meeting. This person needs to be suspended, censured, and voted off this board. Because as soon as that kid took his oath to the U.S. and state constitution, he knew he was lying. He was not taking that oath honestly. And so this is an issue now that I think is going to be nationwide.
Hey, Rich.
And I kind of hope Moms for Liberty has this on their radar.
I don't know about that specific thing, but if you want to shoot me an email with all of that, our Moms for Liberty email is moms, the number 4, Liberty Shasta, at gmail.com. Shoot that to that email.
I will send you the documents that I presented. Yep, I presented documents to that board and said, please put these in the agenda packet as correspondence into the record. I will send you those very same items. And then all the way, by the way, they had a Brown Act violation. Every time I go to a local government meeting, I find Brown Act violations. Everyone. And by the way, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with Katie on what happened at Gateway. I went to several of those meetings, and the staff that have been there for several years, they watched Brown Act violations occur, and they did nothing. So either they were ignorant of them, or they let them happen, in my humble opinion, to set up the current conservative board.
But that's what I was saying.
The Brown Act violations are everywhere, because none of these folks and boards have been held accountable for decades. And so I make sure to point them out every time I go. It's like, just at least follow the simple rule.
I got a question for maybe everybody on the Brown Act. The Brown Act doesn't have any teeth. No one follows the Brown Act. No one has violations against them. We had a supervisor who basically used law enforcement to go back and check on his home during the car fire after instructing people that they weren't allowed to go back, including one particular father who lost his kids back there. And we had a supervisor who did that. And then we had a lot of Brown Act violations, and nothing happens. I mean, it's beginning to be the same mantra of, you know, it goes to the court of public opinion. The court of public opinion isn't crap unless you use it. It's just like the Constitution. Unless you use the Constitution, it's only a piece of paper. So I don't really see where anybody has had the, I can say balls, can I? Yeah, I can.
Yep.
I just said that to really go out there and say, you know, we need to have somebody in law enforcement say, you know what, this is, you're breaking the law. We're going to take care of this. You're breaking the law.
And even when Gateway broke the Brown Act, all they had to do was rescind the vote. And they made that clear. And it's done. It's water under the bridge now. So when KRCR and other places are dragging this board's name through the mud, saying, you know, as if they did something horrible, they did not. They went by the law and they fixed it. So, that's my point.
Well, there were other administrative Brown Act violations at Gateway, which when I pointed them out, they did correct them. But to answer Terry's question, the vast majority of the Brown Act is civil in nature. The only misdemeanor in the Brown Act is bringing out closed session items without authorization. That's a misdemeanor. But you need a district attorney who will enforce that, which, of course, we don't have here. So anyways,
just ask you a question about that. With a civil violation, for example, you're talking about a civil violation. Okay, so the only action you'd have against a sitting bureaucrat would be a Title 42, 1983 with the United States Code, which would be a civil suit. So the Brown Act, you know, it seems to me it's odd that you would have something like that to hold elected officials accountable during the Brown Act and have it not be punishable by anything but a civil suit, which means the person has to show harm who has it. I don't know if I buy that.
That's why the tool that you really have to hold bureaucrats accountable is recalls. And that's why the tool that you have to hold them accountable is elections. And that's why the tool that you have to hold them accountable is letting them know that you will be running qualified candidates and you will be replacing them.
So let me close out here for you folks. Thank you for the time. So again, I really hope these admitted socialists that are likely throughout the country in our school boards, I'm sure this is not the only place. For Shasta County, for God's sake, right? The heart of liberty and freedom in California. And we have one here. So I'm sure it's happening elsewhere, and I hope Moms for Liberty has this on their radar.
Send it to me, and I will.
These people cannot be allowed to stay in office. And I thank you, everybody, for the time.
We'll look into it, Rich. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
And, Katie wants to talk to you.
I did see Rich's video of him confronting that school board, and I applaud him on doing that. That is really good. They did a really good job of doing that. And also, we shared it all over the place so that we could get that information out there to people. We need people to show up to that school board and make sure that people know that Shasta County will not put up with that. And his father on the SCOE board, he's just as bad, just as nasty, and spends his time, berating my husband, who's also on that board, and tearing him down. So they're not a good family. They do not belong on a school board. So, with that, I will say that we do need to rally behind Rich on this. And, if it is something of national interest to Moms for Liberty, we will definitely put it before them and they can make that decision.
Yeah,
because
it is a
fight worth taking up, but we have a lot in the hopper right now.
Well, and it is difficult to have somebody who's an admitted communist or socialist, according to what Rich is saying, that actually is taking an oath to the United States Constitution. It's
but you know
I
what?
Mean, that's
it's
sort of an oxymoron if I've ever heard
it's
one.
It's not as scary, and it's not as, truly threatening, like you and I know that it is, to the mass majority of people, because people think socialism's cool. People think communism's cool. Like, who's the Cuban guy that they all wear on their t-shirts, the kids all wear, because they think he's super cool. And they think they don't know what communism is because it's been watered down so much in the curriculums.
Well, let's hope the adults do.
Let's hope the adults do, yes. But, I mean, we do need to think about kids in these situations because that's who's voting in the future.
Well, and the other thing, too, when you were talking about the recall in Gateway, they just spent over $80,000, my understanding anyway, that was the number thrown around with the Board of Supervisors for the special election that they had because the elections office, the ROV here in Shasta County, didn't have their act together to have that election on the ballot in the timely fashion initially when the
for Shasta was up. For Shasta Lake City Council. Yeah. Isn't that?
That's the one that had to be corrected during the last election.
Oh, man, I was way off on my target there.
No, but you're right. But they didn't have it together, and now we do have to have a special election. They're separate issues and separate offices.
That's right.
But that one and the cost to the taxpayers, you know, they're like, now you're forcing us to have a special election because you guys can't agree on a board member. Guess what? The reason we can't agree on things, the reason we don't have a majority and we have to say things like when we had the majority in there is infighting.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people at Shasta Lake Schools, Gateway Schools is what they're called, tell me, you know, everybody on both sides, they're conservative, they're great, we have amazing teachers, we have amazing admin, we have amazing, but we're fighting. Why do we have a 2-2 split? Because of infighting, because of lack of true knowledge, because of hearing things, seeing things on social media and running with it, because we're allowing keyboard warriors who have nothing to do, no stakes in the school districts, no stakes in anything else, coming in and creating infighting, creating issues, and we're allowing it because we're going to, you know, hold ourselves higher, we're going to be above reproach, and we're not going to speak to it. But then even amongst our own groups, we're fighting. We're told the board members that are on there are conservative and have made great decisions. They stood up against COVID stuff. why can we not come together and fix this and resolve this and make decisions? It sounds like they're coming together, and hopefully they'll have a decision soon on superintendent. Sounds like they're starting to mend and work together, but why couldn't we get that fourth board member when people are in and interviewing? Because of this division that people are creating, and they're creating it to keep us divided so that if we all just united together, it's like that meme with the people playing chess on top of the people. Mm-hmm. Like if they realize they could just stand up, game over.
Yep.
And we need to realize that. Stop dividing ourselves. When people show up to board meetings and have no clue what they're talking about because they didn't ask questions first, mm-hmm. and they show up and take a chance. Somebody showed up to the Anderson one. Takes the chance of blowing everything up.
Yep.
What if one of those board members heard the things that she said and took it to heart? And she just spoke out. Tells the board, you don't need to listen to the people behind me. And you don't need to listen to these parents and kids. Yeah, you do. That's who you work for. But also, you don't know anything about the situation. What research did you do? Then you hurt that board member by saying, I'm here to support this one specific board member. But the things you're saying up there at the pulpit, whatever podium, are against what that board member stands for. So then people are like, oh, should we be questioning what that lady's, you know,
that might
us?
Be a proper term, pulpit, because a lot of people that get up there and speak think they're at a pulpit, you know, and I think you're right about that, you know, and there is a lot of division, and there's the people that like drama, and let's just call it what it is. There's all kinds of different things that happen. On, you know, and there's a lot of infighting, and I think a lot of the issues we run into too is the fact that we have a society right now that's angry and it's afraid and that's worried about their kids, that's worried about their future in their country. And what happens is because you can't really grab the enemy, shake the enemy, and have the enemy be there, you start eating each other. Mm-hmm. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
So people really need to just, you know, kind of take that minute to realize who the enemy is, recenter themselves as far as what our vision is here, especially in this area where we're talking about school boards. And one of the biggest things that I love and Leslie loves about Moms for Liberty is, number one, where do your rights come from? Number two, what are we fighting for? Well, we are fighting for parents' rights. And if we can unify under that umbrella, no one's going to go up in front of a school board and tell them that they get to make the decision and that they're the ones that have all the power. That's never going to happen, because if they have the vision, they understand what their job is. Their job is to go up there and remind the school board that we are the parents and we don't co-parent with the government, and it's not their job, and they can't let their egos run wild on how we are supposed to raise our children. And when we spend that time getting that mm-hmm. vision out there and getting everybody under that umbrella, mm-hmm. we can all swim in the right direction, and we know who we're fighting, and it's not each other.
And I think that's what your podcast is doing. Mm-hmm. We the Parents, which I love the name, We the Parents. And I think that your podcast is something that really is going to be special. And you just started that. You've had some excellent guests on, and you actually had guests and people on and discuss things that really have some teeth, that really have a solution to the problems and really is bringing people together. I mean, the two of you nailed it. The divisiveness has to stop. The division has to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we the parents, and I love that, because it really is. It's we the parents that are taking this bull by the horns and saying, okay, we're stopping this. This isn't really the school board or the government or anybody else other than the parents grabbing the bull by the horns and saying, we are educated, we know how to fight this, we're going to fight this, and you will do as we tell you.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's something that, you know, everybody that has that same vision, Mountaintop Media is putting together a really good group mm-hmm. of people that have that same vision. Mm-hmm. They've got the guys from Red, White, and Blueprint, who bleeds, you know, community and involvement and, you know, turning our country in the right direction more than those guys. They've got the two of you on there. Like, they've got so many great programs that offer solutions and, you know, more to come. But, you know,
and
we the parents.
Sovereign Minds, we got to say Sovereign Minds.
And I've got good news for you too. Alex Haberbusch mm-hmm. from the Lex Rex Institute wants you to interview him, but also what they want to do is talk to you. So I'll be sending you the information for him. If you don't already have it, you might already have it. But you need to get with him, or have you already gotten with him?
No, I have not.
Because he was really...
But I do have his information.
Okay, we talked to... Wynn and I talked to him about 20 minutes after the last podcast we did with Alex.
And the audio on that got turned off, so it didn't get recorded, so I didn't get to hear it back.
Did you hear any of it? Mm-hmm. I did, and I have a memory like a trap.
It's a good thing I trust you. But speaking of Mr. Haberbusch and Lex Rex Institute, the two of you did a special report on Mountaintop Media, and that link also needs to be dropped on here because that was the coolest, most informative interview, and I got to sit behind the glass on that one and just get to, like, totally fangirl and nerd out because he has all the answers.
He does.
And you guys had all the right questions, and you guys had the answers, and the fact that we're the first county doing this in California. And
might be the only one.
Yeah, and the fact that he has,
we're
like,
the
all
first,
the legal
not
stuff,
the only.
But you guys are like, okay, well, but, you know, if this is what they're throwing out as a problem, why can't we do X, Y, and Z? And I won't tell you what X, Y, and Z is because you need to go watch it. But these two, I mean, were amazing.
Is there a way that you can share these podcasts, especially the ones that I think with Alex is important. I think the one with Clint was important. And the stuff you guys are doing is amazing. Can you share that with the Moms for Liberty? And can they get that out nationwide? We have to get, you know.
Yes and no. There's a reason those two things are not exclusively.
They're a
C4, linked.
Right?
They're a C4.
Not
and,
a 3.
But,
okay, go ahead.
But the reason those aren't exclusively linked is Moms for Liberty has a very clear mission. And that is about parental rights. It is about education. It is about what's going on with our kids.
Couldn't it just be the applicable ones?
We can and we have. We've shared some of the the parent things.
Yes.
Like our one with Aurora from Chico.
Yeah, definitely.
We've shared that too, our Moms for Liberty stuff. And that type of stuff has been part of what sparks other chapters opening. I have people I called out, my Idaho friends. There's no Moms for Liberty in Idaho yet. All the conservatives are fleeing California to go to Idaho. Why don't we have Moms for Liberty in Idaho if you're so conservative? And when I called them out on Facebook, they're like, oh, we want to start one. So
I don't know that they know. My husband went on a lot of their school board and noticed that they have a lot of the same policies that we're fighting against here in California. And we have a lot of sleeper cells, you know, just going on these school boards and rubber stamping things. There's also a tremendous amount of pressure on these school boards, which we're trying to alleviate and become more formidable than those that pressure from the other side. But you have the school board associations, you have the lawyers, you have the liability insurance.
The press.
And you have an angry mob of purple hairs coming after you. So, what we're trying to do is be just as formidable as that, all of those things. And we need help. I mean, it's.
But with a smile on our face because our kids are watching.
Yes. But it is just, it is very, very, very daunting task, but we will need help. We will need people to come alongside us, and we will need numbers in order to make that happen. But in Idaho, I don't think that they realize that, you know, they think that stuff's happening over in, you know, they call us Commie California. Well, it's happening in their state as well.
What they don't realize is Idaho is Shasta County 2.5-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're sitting there thinking, we're conservative, we're great, things are golden, but the people who are voting for the same junk here are moving there. Mm-hmm. Those same policies are already there. They're just not being enacted upon because somebody who knows how to read those policies and use those policies for evil has not yet been elected to that office. But somebody's going to get up there and say, oh, hey, I've got an agenda to drive, and I've already got the policies backing me. And then all of a sudden, they tell the people it's law, and they're going to see themselves in the exact same situation that we're in.
And especially this mom in Chico, Aurora Regino, who is suing Chico Unified School District because her parental rights were trampled all over. When her daughter went into what's called a wellness center, watch out for these, Shasta County wellness centers. It sounds really awesome, not so awesome. So they have American Girl dolls. They have all kinds of fidget spinners, cool TVs, all different kinds of stuff in these places. It's being run by people who don't have licenses, don't have any business working with kids. And this little girl goes in, and she has some trouble with what's going on with a family member dying, and goes into the wellness center, comes out of the wellness center, a boy, the counselor, quote-unquote, that takes her back to class and announces to the class that she no longer has a girl name, she's now a boy.
Wait. But Doug LaMalfa worded that the best way I've ever heard it worded. They talk about how all of this stuff is in place to protect the privacy of the student, mm-hmm. The student. Yet in that 30 seconds that counselor decided, I know what's best for this student, they blew up that kid's privacy. They blew up that kid's every right that student had, because they outed them not only to the teacher, not only like an inner staff email, hey, just a heads up, this kid's struggling. Maybe we need to talk to them. Maybe we need to keep an eye on them, get them some help. Maybe if they were really wanting to transition, that's probably the more appropriate way to do that. Let's talk to the parents. Let's whatever. Yet they walked in, blew it up in front of the students, in front of everybody. This one's now a boy. How does that kid go back to
And that? That poor child then went through losing their friend group, being outed, being bullied, going through emotional problems, coming home every single day, sleeping, and all of that without parent support, without her mama behind her.
Without her parents.
And that's what the crux of this issue is.
Right, without her
You know, regardless of the fact that, you know, I'm not okay
in
with
America,
that.
Unbelievable.
But that mom's, and this is what Moms for Liberty stands for, that mom's parental rights was trampled upon, and she did not have the ability to be a mama bear to her baby. And so then she had to find this out from her mother after the little girl confided and told grandma that the school told her not to tell her mom. So she went along, and now she is in litigation with that school district. And not only that, but when her and all of her friends and the community members show up to talk about this issue, they are abused very badly by an entire community of people who are, when they're walking by, they're called horrible names. They are physically harassed in that bot, like they stand in front of them and they puff their chests out and act as if they're coming after them. So they're intimidating them in the worst way. There's a group of dads now that have to go and stand and protect these moms. And when they get up there to speak, they can barely even say a word because they're so intimidated. And their voices come out cracked and in tears, and they can't even get their words in. And the board members are yelling at them because they're going over their time, but it's because they can't get the words out. Mm-hmm. What's happening in Chico is a war zone. And we can't let that stuff get that bad here in Shasta County before, and it's happening. It's happening all across this county. We have that same policy.
Okay, so you were talking about wellness centers earlier. So are they in every school?
I don't see them in Shasta County right now, but
wouldn't that be a replacement from the old nurse's office, right?
No. It's completely separate. There is a push statewide to get them here, and it is slowly transitioning there. Things like campus supervisor, which handled discipline, has now been switched over to a behavior para who, instead of taking the kid and talking to them, why'd you do this? Kids make mistakes. That's how you learn. Let's move past it. Here's the consequence. Here's how we fix it. Or even without a consequence when there's not one needed, how do we fix it? Hold you accountable. Move on. Instead, this behavior para now comes in and says, come sit in my swing and play with my fidget toys and let's make you happy and comfortable. And instead of addressing the issue. So that's where these things start. The wellness centers and all of that starts with a welcoming environment that makes things acceptable. And then they start giving money to these programs. We're going to pay for, you know, you to have a behavior para. We're going to pay for this. We're going to pay. And you have to follow the funding. You have to follow all of the policies and look where they're all connected. It's like a big old spider web. But it's because CSBA and other programs like the program in Chico that's pushing their wellness center come in and they have harmful indoctrinating.
We have proof that Placer County as well. We had to have Project Veritas come and do an undercover investigation on that. And that was involving a wellness center.
Well, we took this to the limit because we've got 7 seconds left.